A new king of homes.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Pulte Homes announced this morning it will acquire builder Centex. The stock-for-stock deal is worth $1.3 billion. The merger will create the nation's largest home builder. The new company will keep the Pulte name. The deal's happening in part to help the company survive the housing downturn. Life insurance companies may soon get their own life jacket. The Wall Street Journal says today that's the next industry that'll get a chunk of money from the government's Troubled Asset Relief Program. The U.S. Treasury Department could make a move on this in the next several days. Companies that could get help include Lincoln National, Prudential, and Hartford. Steve Henn joins us now from Washington. Steve, why insurers and why now?
Life insurers have been begging for help since at least November. Some of the biggest life insurers actually went out of their way to buy small troubled savings and loans so they'd qualify for the bank bailout. And they've just been left hanging. Life insurance lobbyists have been saying that the industry is the largest purchaser of corporate debt. And as long as they're under stress, they're not buying bonds. And that puts a big drag on the entire economy.
The biggest recipient of government money so far is that giant of an insurance company, American International Group. How is this different than the AIG bailout?
AIG got in trouble with credit default swaps. It was insuring other people's bad investments, and it didn't do a particularly good job at that. Other insurers and the big life insurers got in trouble in a totally different way. You know, like banks almost, life insurers have a bunch of assets. You know, they invest in stock, these corporate bonds, and they rely on those assets and the income they earn from them to pay off life insurance policies when people pass away, and also to pay for things like retirement annuities. When the value of those assets declines, that can put them in sort of a bit of a pickle. They might not have enough money to meet all their obligations.
And how much money will be going to this new round of companies?
We really don't know yet. The Treasury Department says it has about $130 billion in assets left in the Troubled Asset Relief Program. And some big insurers like the Hartford have estimated that they expect to get between $1 and $3 billion if Treasury approves their application. So at least half a dozen insurers seem poised to get aid. So we'll have to wait and see.
All right. Marketplace's Steve Henn in Washington. Thanks so much.
Sure thing.
Wall Street futures are pointed lower right now. Big aluminum company Alcoa reported a bigger-than-expected loss yesterday. European shares are mostly lower this hour. Major markets in Asia closed in negative territory today. A new report today from Discover Financial Services shows consumer sentiment may be brightening a bit. The index did find, though, most people continue to focus on saving. In Zion, Illinois, hope is on a minor league baseball team with major league backing. A contest to pick the team's name begins today. Joel Rose has that story.
He played a washed-up minor league catcher in Bull Durham and a farmer who carved a baseball diamond out of his cornfield in Field of Dreams.
Hey, is this heaven?
No, it's Iowa.
Now actor Kevin Costner owns a stake in a professional baseball team. Not in Iowa, but in Zion, Illinois, about 40 miles north of Chicago. Construction is scheduled to start next month on a $15 million stadium for the as-yet-unnamed team. Whatever it's called, Zion librarian Nancy Hilliard hopes it can draw tourists and spark economic development in a town where the unemployment rate tops 12%.
It's obviously not the high-stakes, showy aspect that you have with Major League Baseball, but it allows for local promotions. It allows for everybody to get into the game.
Zion is still struggling to recover from the loss of a nuclear power plant that closed a decade ago. City officials are hoping that minor league baseball is the answer to their prayers. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, delivering people-ready enterprise solutions designed to help companies do more with less. Details at Microsoft.com/people-ready.
If you keep your digital photos online at Kodak Gallery, it's decision time. Eastman Kodak's Kodak says if you want to keep your pics there, pay up by mid-May. LA Times business columnist David Lazarus joins us now. David, where is this coming from?
Well, Kodak Gallery is one of the leading photo repositories on the web. They have 5 billion images stored, 70 million users. The problem is most of those users do not buy things from the site, prints and CDs and whatnot. They're just keeping their photo albums on the web. Kodak has responded by saying, hey, the free ride is over. If you have 2 gigabytes or less stored online, you'll be paying $4.99 a year at least. If you have more than 2 gigs stored, you'll be spending $19.99 a year at least for the privilege. Or, and this is a big or, your photos could be deleted.
So is this the end of, as you call it, freeloading on the web?
Well, that's the big question, isn't it? We're seeing a gradual transition of formerly free services introducing fees. Craigslist, for instance, used to be able to put anything up there for free. Now a number of the listings come with fees attached. Basketball superstar Kobe Bryant has reintroduced his website with a $49.95 a year membership fee. So clearly fees are gradually coming out. And the question that I posed in my column is, what about all the things that we all take for granted? Free email from Yahoo and Google and Hotmail. What if fees start getting attached to all of that?
Well, what if they do? I mean, it's happened before, and you raised ATMs as an example of this.
I thought ATMs was a really good parallel. When they were first introduced, the banks had no fees attached to them, the idea being that they wanted you to get very accustomed to this technology and get away from those very costly tellers. And then in 1988, the fees started coming out for out-of-network cards. And then, of course, we all know in the banking industry, a fee to talk to the teller, a fee to get your canceled checks back, and on and on. I think it's a very good parallel for what we're facing in terms of the internet, where things come out with no fees attached, and gradually you see the fees starting to pile on as people start becoming accustomed to the technology and as the technology becomes a routine part of people's lives.
All right. LA Times business columnist David Lazarus, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
A link to David's column is at marketplace.org. I'm Renita Jablonski.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.